Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and thank you for joining us. Today's Friday, February 12th, a couple days before Valentine's Day.
It is. It is. It's sneaking up on us.
Yeah. Are you excited about it? Do you like Valentine's Day?
I do. Yeah. I do. Probably my favorite part about Valentine's Day is when all the candy goes on sale after. So, I mean, it's literally like 50, 75% off. So.
Oh, wow. That's a good idea.
I know. So my girlfriends and I like always raid the CVS or whatever. Like,
right. You know. With the candy and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's nice. But no, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's a big hype that makes a lot of money.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and you know, the restaurants are crazy. So I actually prefer something like more low-key on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, more romantic and stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't really want to go out anywhere because it's just like a madhouse.
It really is, you know, and they charge so much money, you know. It's
not even worth it.
No, it really isn't. You know, I've done it a couple times and, you know, you go out, you spend $300 on a dinner or something at a restaurant that you normally spend less than $100.
I know.
You know, and it's terrible. So I don't know why people do this. A lot of people subscribe to it, but we do have a guest. We're going to talk to her about Valentine's Day. And so we'll find out really why people are celebrating it, what the big deal is, and why some people hate it. You know.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
I know why some people hate it. They don't want to go get anything for their girl.
Right.
I mean, I think every woman loves Valentine's Day if she's dating somebody.
That's
or whatever.
True, you know, but you have to understand from a man's perspective, it's like sort of a thing where it's like a gift is expected, and it's a turnoff for some people, you know?
Oh, I've heard that from a lot of guys.
Yeah,
actually.
You know?
And it's true. I see it. I can see that, you know?
But you know what? I say to these people, if that's true, then you should get her flowers every day of the year, you know? And or any day of the year. But the But the fact that it's expected and it's sort of like something that someone created for commercial reasons turns off some people, you know.
Sure.
So, but some women expect it. So we'll see. We'll talk about it and see who's right, who's wrong. Maybe nobody's right or wrong. Maybe there's just different expectations.
Yeah, I think that that's the case. You know, it's funny because, like, yes, it's expected, but would you ever really do it, maybe, if it wasn't? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's a day where people said, okay, we should appreciate our loved ones and pick one day for that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's two sides to it that I can actually see, so.
That's true, yeah. So, we'll
have
see.
To talk to the expert.
Yeah. Well, if I don't meet anybody new by Sunday, then I'm not celebrating.
What is it? It's on Sunday, right?
So right, yeah. Today's the 12th.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
It would be Sunday.
I remember one time it fell on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
It was a few years ago, and I was like, Valentine's Day, what's that? It's just Tequila Tuesday for me. My girlfriends and I, like, went to a bar. It was fun.
Yeah, that's funny. Drinking stories are always funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them. You know, I was talking to my sister last night, actually, and she was telling me, we were texting, and she was like, yeah, I'm off to the Thirsty Thursday at the, you know, Phi Beta frat party or whatever. I don't remember what frat it was exactly, but I was like, oh, I'm so jealous. I remember those days, and
yeah,
they were just so
it, huh?
fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, the days when you didn't have a lot of responsibilities, right?
Yeah, I think that's one time in my life, like, I would go back to. And not only that, but I feel like college, it's just a time when you're expected to be where you are, right? And
right.
So there's no pressure.
Exactly. No responsibility, really. You're just there, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's like you have 4 years of just kind of doing your job and getting out. And then when you get out, that's when the trouble ensues.
Right.
For somebody like me who's a dreamer and, you know, is always hustling and and everything. For others, it's not. I mean, they know exactly what they want to go into, and it's more traditional, and that's that. But yeah, I think it gets more complicated once you get out and you're trying to decide where to go, what to do, and how to do it.
No, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing, because once you're done with that, then the responsibilities start. You have to be able to survive on your own and find a career and so forth. So, yeah, it's not easy, but you got to do it, you know. I mean, yeah, you got to do it. But enjoy college while you're there. Why not, you know?
Yes, definitely do, yeah. Kiddos.
Because it does help a lot with socializing and things like that.
Maybe, you know? That's why I'm living right across from a major college.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm living vicariously through them.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it's a major boost to the ego, too, when I go into, like, the Bristol Farms or the Ralph or something, and they're like, do you have your student discount? And I'm like, I forgot it today.
Yeah, that's God damn it.
I know. I'm like, oh, but I mean, can you still just do it? Like, obviously, I'm a student. So.
Yeah, get a student card, whatever.
I know.
Well, that's funny.
It is.
Yeah. But so you're near UCLA, which is a huge campus.
Yeah, it's massive.
Right? You need a car in order to get around.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's like a few blocks each side.
Mm-hmm.
More than just a few blocks, actually, you know, from Wiltshire all the way to Sunset. That's quite a ways.
Yeah, it's a hike.
Yeah, but it's a cool school. You know, I was going to go there to get an MBA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after college. I went back to college sort of like later at the age of 27.
You told me that.
Yeah, so I wanted to get a master's degree in MBA, so I almost applied at UCLA, and then the idea for business came up, and I started that instead.
There you go.
Yeah. But I love school, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm considering going back to get a graduate degree, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, even now. That'd be great.
Yeah, even now, you know, because, I mean, I'm doing, like, studying on my own anyway by reading all these books that I read. That I might as well, you know, go and get a degree or something.
I enjoy learning.
Yeah.
I do. And, you know, I actually applied for USC and UT Austin.
Yeah.
And I just really wanted to go to USC. Yeah. And I was devastated when I didn't get in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like top of my class. I was like third
really?
In my class.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, had like a 4.3 or something bizarre like that. Yeah. And, you know, had really great test scores, all that stuff. But
yeah, so they still didn't admit you, huh?
They didn't. Wow. You know, apparently it's difficult and pretty nepotistic to get into one of those schools, like when you're, right. you know, from out of state or whatever. But, you know, looking back, it was so meant to be because I loved UT. Like, I can't imagine loving a college any more than I loved UT. It
oh,
was,
really?
Like, really fun. Yeah. And not only that, but I just would just saved a ton of money.
Yeah,
which,
that's true.
You know, really came in handy post-grad because yeah. I had a little bit of, like, seed money to kind of hold me over to...
Right, to start what you wanted
to start. What I wanted to start,
yeah.
I mean, it would have just drained pretty much everything had I gone to USC because That's I would have had to pay out-of-state tuition.
I know. I don't know how people can afford it, you know. I mean, only the rich people really go there. I mean, it's a private school,
mm-hmm.
You know, highly desirable school, and... I think they probably charge like a lot of money. I mean, I would imagine maybe by the time you graduate, you probably owe $250,000 or something. You know,
it would be something like that. I think yeah. I don't remember what tuition was, but I know it was significantly more. Like UT, I believe I was only paying like $4,500 a semester or something.
Yeah,
which isn't that bad,
right.
Compared to like $30,000 a semester or
That's
something,
true.
Which is what most private schools run.
Wow.
Yeah.
$30,000 a semester?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It equates to like more than most people make in a year.
Right. You see, that's the thing though. I mean, if somebody decides they're going to go into that kind of debt, I don't feel bad for them, you know, because it's a choice. You know, I mean, you don't have to go to USC to go to a good college and enjoy your studies, you know,
yeah.
and not have to go into debt. I mean, can you imagine
yeah.
getting out of school at the age of 22 and you've got $250,000 debt on your head and you don't know when the hell you're going to pay it and how?
See, and I was like so fortunate because my parents were amazing and they helped me out a lot. And
yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have done it without them. And I don't, you know, I've helped other people out just kind of in return. You don't have the start that I've had, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know how I would have done it. And it's kind of a roll of the dice. It's luck of the draw.
Yeah.
It really
no,
is.
No, that's true, you know, but you pretty much make do with what you have, you know? I mean, I figured that.
But it's nice to have a good start.
It really does, you know? I mean, there's no doubt about it. But when I went back to college, I'd already been independent for a long time since I was 16. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, so. So when I went to college, though, I didn't think, like, I can take a break from life and go to college. So I just stayed here, and I went to a local university, to CSUN here. And I don't think I missed out on anything. You know, I mean, look, it's cool to be in a dorm and go away and all that stuff, but not everybody can do it. So I got a degree without owing a penny.
Me too, yeah.
And that's it, you know. Okay, yeah. So it's not like, it's not... an Ivy League school or anything like that, but still, it's a business degree that I have. It's allowed me to, it's opened doors for me. And I don't think I would have been any better off now if I went to a better school.
Right. And you know, I may stand corrected. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just feel unless you're going into a really, really specialized field where one school is the clear leader of training in that field, it doesn't really matter all that much where you go.
That's true. Like, that makes sense.
I mean, if you want to be, you know, a lawyer or something like that, okay, like obviously Harvard is a great choice.
Right. Or if you want to go to graduate school too, you want to come from a good school.
Right, right. I get that if you're going to go like into the corporate world more so. But for me, I wanted to go into journalism and television presenting and radio hosting. So
yeah, exactly. Who cares what school you went to?
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really funny because I joke with my friends and my sister and everybody and all these kids who are making these hard decisions. And I just said, you know, I worked so hard for my degree, and then I got to LA, and like I haven't been asked for my transcript one time.
Really?
Yes.
I know they never ask. Who cares?
They don't care. Now, I mean, I think on the East Coast it's probably different. So I've heard, you know, maybe education is more valued over there.
Really? So they'll verify your education?
That's what I hear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I hear, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure they would hear too, obviously, depending on what field you want to go into.
Exactly, but, depending on what you want to do.
You know, yeah, so I found that so interesting. I just can't believe that I had 4 years of life that wasn't wasted, but I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I could have been getting more real life experience, I guess. But
yeah, here comes our guest.
Oh,
so
great.
We'll continue talking about that after we speak to her. Good morning. Are you on the air with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Now I'm going to try and pronounce your name. Is it Beate?
That was the best first attempt ever.
No, because I told Kelsey, I said, I'm so embarrassed because I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I think I have heard the name before. So is it good or am I close?
You're basically perfection.
Oh my gosh, wow. So it's Beate and Shalette, is that how you pronounce your last name?
Beate Shalette, yes.
Beate Shalette, there we go. Now that we established your name, we can move on. So
wonderful.
Good job. I would have had no clue.
Thank you for calling us this morning. Where are you calling us today from?
Los Angeles, Oklahoma City.
Oh, you're in L.A., awesome. So you're enjoying the weather
like we are.
You're enjoying the weather just like we are.
You know, I call it El Whatever.
Yeah, right? I do have a story coming up on how cold it's going to be in the Northeast in a couple of days. And here we are in sunny California. So there you go. So we're going to talk to you about Valentine's Day a little bit. But first of all, let's talk about you, a little bit of background on you. I see you're the author of a book called The Women's Code and Happy Woman, Happy World. Tell us a little bit about these books.
Yeah, so it's actually one book. It's called The Women's Code Presents Happy Woman, Happy World.
Oh, okay.
And it is a book that I wrote for women who want everything, success, career, money, a great relationship, a family, and who finds herself in the permanent space of being completely overwhelmed. Wow. So I help, you know, I call it the foolproof fix to get from overwhelmed to awesome. So I give women hands-on advice on how to manage all these things simultaneously without going insane.
Oh.
Wow.
That's great.
That's a lot of stuff to learn. But when did the book come out? When did you publish it?
The book was published in fall 2013.
Oh, nice. So you've had a chance to show it around and so forth, which is cool. So what is it that you do other than when you're not writing books?
I actually help corporations and institutions to balance their leadership. So I'm very passionate about women leadership, about how to get more women into leadership positions. And the second side of that is I work, because of my photography background, with a lot of creative entrepreneurs, and I have mentored and coached many, many now very successful creative entrepreneurs who are making a living with their passion.
Wow.
Very cool. So now, they're saying that you're a nationally known gender decoder. What does that mean, Beate? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So, well, the gender decoding really comes from, you know, here's me, the woman who wants everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I find that it's okay, you know, I got the business down, I got the money down, I got the mom down, but I can't make my relationship work. And so I realized that, you know, there was a fundamentally flawed approach. So I had to literally decode what I was doing, you know, using my German German background, you know, taking everything apart, engineering it. And I realized that I was attracting the wrong men. And so I had to crack that code, which is why I called it the women's code, to figure out how to find that man who would love and respect me and cherish me as a woman. So, you know, and that was the decoding part. I realized that men are pretty straightforward in a lot of stuff, or they don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And as women, we can be very vague about how we formulate things that we want. And so that's what the decoding is. Like, how do we decode his silence and her inability to communicate clearly?
Yeah. And I think that's a big reason why there's a lot of problems and stuff between the genders, because we kind of like don't understand each other, you know. I think everybody comes from a different place, and you know, and I think one thing about women also, which is sometimes a joke, is they expect men to read their minds, you know, like you should know what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and all that, and what I'm expecting and all that. So, and then I'm sure women think about us as, you know, maybe not that interested or not that talkative or whatever, you know.
you're so right, and that's sort of this like vicious relationship cycle we find ourselves in, that she says vaguely, I need help, and he says, what do you need help with specifically? And she says, well, just anything but not this. He says, well, if you don't know what you want, how can I help you? And she gets frustrated.
Right.
And then he says, well, then do it yourself. And we are right back where we started in all this miscommunication. Yeah. And that's what the decoding is about, because men really want to help. And men really want to understand that when men want great, passionate relationships, and so do women. So what do we need to do to get both of them on the same page? And that's really sort of my mission with the Women's Code, to create this understanding.
Yeah. I think it's very important, you know. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Beate Shillette, and she's obviously you're a lot into relationships and how people communicate and so forth. I see you have a website. You guys can go and follow us in the interview or check it out later, BeateShillette.com. And you guys can just Google it if you're not sure about the spelling, and I'm sure Google is going to find it.
Yeah.
Right? But I see,
yeah, exactly.
Your website has a lot of stuff in it, and it's rich with information and stuff, and I really recommend people go and check it out. you know, to see some of your philosophy and some of your advice. So, Beate's book is The Women's Code, presents Happy Woman, Happy World. Now, let's talk a little bit about Valentine's Day. And Kelsey and I talked a little bit about before you called. But the question is, I think the biggest problem with Valentine's Day is that women expect and men don't like that they're expecting something. Is that true?
Yes, that's probably everything in a nutshell. The issue is that men go, why do I have to be following the florist maid initiative of overspending for a dozen roses that I usually get for $15? Why do I have to spend $40 in this one day and everything is so bloody expensive? You know I love you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can get it for you on another day.
I've heard that so many times.
And what day would that be?
Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow. Well, that's what I was telling Sam, is I was like, I think that Valentine's Day was invented because so many times appreciation is overlooked, right? Like, we don't take the time to appreciate our loved one or whatever.
Yeah.
So they say
that's so correct, and that's what it is. You know, we settle into these relationships, and when a man makes up his mind, a man makes up his mind. So now he's in the relationship. He doesn't have to pursue the woman anymore. She is now his. She may even have said yes. Things are tight and secure. Why bother, right?
Because right.
The chasing is over. And women fall in love with men because we feel cherished and loved. And so when the man then just stops the pursuit and says, well, you know, now we're at a different level. Thank God I don't have to do this anymore. We feel something is missing.
Right.
The romance is missing.
Right.
So the day, you know, and you're so right, was created to help men to remember that.
Yeah, right.
At least on this one day, go all out.
Right. No, I mean, you know, that totally makes sense to me.
So
you know,
true.
I can understand that, you know. And yet at the same time, I think you're right, you know, but I also have to say that in order for the men to continue the pursuit, I think the woman should at least continue to be seductive, you know, to continue to be like, give him a reason to pursue her. And I think sometimes, you know, people get complacent, you know, and the women start being taking care of themselves and it turns off the man. Don't you think that can sometimes happen too?
Absolutely. This is, you know, and I really like what you're saying, is that this is not a one-sided thing. This goes both ways. And in my book, Happy Woman, Happy World, I talk a lot about the difference between how men lead and how women lead. And one of the reasons is that women have become so alpha, and we have to adapt all these alpha, you know, male-centric attributes to make our way through life, to earn money, to buy the car, to negotiate with the contractor and the plumber and you know, get stuff done and be at work, you know, fighting for what we do. But for women, it's really, really, really difficult to learn how to be that way. And then we come home and you want us to be what?
Yeah.
So
that's true.
The solution really is, you know, and I learned this in the relationship that I am in with the man I'm in a relationship with now, is that when we have these really tough days and, you know, we arrive and we are both very, you know, very in our get stuff done mode,
right,
where we say, okay, let's really help each other to decompress so I can slip back in my feminine,
right,
and he can slip, you know, out of this, you know, get stuff done, you know, still remain the male, but, you know, but sort of how do we connect with each other? And that's really what Valentine's Day is about. It's a reminder that nobody can miss. Just check in with each other and make sure you keep that alive.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I can see how, you know, some men maybe just don't want the responsibility or Like we said again, they don't want to feel like they're expected or obligated. But at the same time, why not? You know, it's a holiday, celebrate it, have fun. And I don't think people have to go and spend a lot of money in order to have a great Valentine's
That's
Day, right?
So true.
I mean, you can have a nice dinner at home, bring the flowers, bring the chocolate, bring the champagne, whatever, and celebrate on your own or go camping or something. You know, there's so many things to do. You don't have to go out to the expensive clubs and restaurants.
That's so true.
Right?
So true, yeah. I mean, it's going to boil down to one out of two things. You're going to put the effort in, or you're going to put the money in. There really is no in between.
Yeah, and I don't think women necessarily expect a lot of, like, monetary.
That's true. Thing.
You know, I mean, just a sweet gesture or something goes a long way.
Yeah, but that depends who the woman
is.
You're
so right. Especially if it's a guy that has who's not a good cook, or generally doesn't cook, or doesn't take care of certain things. So when we see the effort, it's almost worth more.
Yeah.
You're so right.
That's true, yeah. Very cool. We're talking to Beata Shalit. You guys can check out her website, too, at beatashalit.com. I see you have a lot of stuff. You're a speaker, too, right? Where do you...
I do a lot of speaking and training, again, on how to be a successful creative entrepreneur and women leadership, balanced leadership, yes.
I mean, women leadership and gender equality and creative entrepreneurship, that's a lot of stuff. So how did you get into all this?
You know, it's one of those things where I come from a creative background, so I am actually by training a photographer, and I liked the business side of the creative arts a lot, you know, and I just it just very naturally comes very easy to me. So I found that especially creatives have a very difficult time to be successful in business, but the flip side of it is if we would have a life without art, without music, without photography, without illustration, without paintings, without, you know, radio, without people with opinions, if we don't support those creatives or we don't teach creatives how to support themselves, we'd be all in a pretty dull place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true.
And that, you know, and so that's how I said I understand the creative soul because I'm a creative, but I happen to be really good at the business. So I can bridge both of those. And then naturally, as I got more into it, I recognized that women have an even harder time because, you know, the women have children and women are trying to make the relationship work. And it's really two jobs in one. So how does a woman manage all of that? And then still, as you said earlier, Sam, be feminine and take care of herself. Well, who has the time? So that's what I'm here to help, you know, the world with, to really figure out on how we can, you know, keep the arts alive and women happy.
Yeah. And I see also, if you're interested, you can talk to Beata one-on-one. And there's also online courses on your website.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. What are those about?
Yes. Thank you for asking. So, yes, I have... I'm on the faculty of an organization that's called Creative Life. So I've done two courses there, which you can see on the website. And let me just spell Beata Shalit. It's BeataCHelett.com. And I am launching a new course for creative entrepreneurs in April. I'm flying up to Hartford University in Connecticut to teach it, and then we'll record it and we'll turn it into an online course to help as many as possible to facilitate, because obviously one-on-one is a little bit more expensive or bigger investment versus if you go and take an online class. But yeah, it's great fun. I keep it entertaining.
Yeah, it sounds great, you know, and it's very original and stuff, you know, to look at the business side of creative and everything. And I think you're doing tremendous work. You know, I mean, your website is a wealth of information, and you obviously have experience in business and in relationships and in communication. So you put it all together and you have a nice complete package.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're so blessed to be good at both.
I have a gift. And I have a gift for your audience, for your listeners, if you want. So let me just give you the URL for that. So go to the website, BeateShalette.com, and then put in /Beatis -free-gifts. Okay. And for anybody who wants to read 2 free chapters of the book or get some of the free stuff I offer, go to BeateShalette.com.
Sounds good.
/Beatis-free-gifts.
Great. So you're saying here before we leave that if a man cares about his woman, he should actually play the game and go all the way and treat her nicely and court her again.
Right. I mean, we don't really argue with Christmas or Hanukkah either.
Right.
Right.
So let's just say this one, the men just have to take for the team.
If you do it right,
there are great benefits for you at the end of that day.
Exactly, exactly. Women are always grateful. So there you go.
That is correct.
Yeah. Beate, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Everybody go out, check out the website, the book, and find out more about how to treat your significant one. So thank you so much. All the best to you. Enjoy the weather. And are you going to have a special Valentine's Day? Do you know yet?
Well, I am sure I'm going to have a special Valentine's Day. Some clarifying questions have been asked.
Great. Or otherwise you throw them out the window.
I am in the dark as to the execution.
Oh my gosh, how fun. Well, it might be something really exciting then.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure being with you, he knows better, right? Than not to...
yes, but he celebrates opportunities to change up the routine. So that, you know, that's how he looks at it. That he, you know, feels is a great opportunity to do something different.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Men should get creative and do this and stop, you know, playing those games and stuff and just stop complaining about it's expected of you and everything. If it's important to the woman and it's meaningful to her, then yeah, just humor her.
Then
you know,
get over not? It.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's my advice.
I'm with you all the way.
Right. And I think for women the message should be, you know, don't start making expectations and everything. Just be content with what you get. And it is, like you said, about the attention and about the to show that you care and that you think about her and that you value her. And, you know, not just to do it because you have to do it. You know, be into it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. You said it perfectly.
Oh,
so for the guys on the call, get on with it.
You see, there you go. And I'm glad we talked to you because you changed my mind now. Because I was a critic of Valentine's Day. Now I'm willing to celebrate it, except I don't have anyone to celebrate it with this year. So I'll save it for next year. Besides, I told Kelsey maybe I'll meet someone by Sunday. So.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. All right, Beate. Thank you so much. All the best to you and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you as well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Oh my gosh, I have a great Valentine's Day story. So when I was, how old was I? I couldn't have been but 15 or 16. And my high school boyfriend at the time, it was so sweet. Like I guess he had asked my mom or something and like came into my room when I wasn't there and like put rose petals everywhere and like flowers and chocolates and like, you know, stuffed animals. And so then when I got home, that was like all there. Yeah, it was so sweet.
Yeah,
I mean, he was gone, but yeah, it was like a surprise. So it was really sweet.
Wow, very cool.
I know.
You see, some men can be romantic if they want
to. And some unlikely ones.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I would say he was.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the mood too, you know? I mean, you know.
So true.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in a fight or something, I don't
you're
see
like, screw that bitch, I'm not getting her anything.
Exactly. You know?
Oh my gosh.
So, but it is a holiday about the women, right? It's not like the woman's supposed to get the man something, although you some know, of them do.
Actually, we should have asked her about this,
right?
Because it's kind of perplexing to me.
Like up in the air kind of thing?
Kind
like
of.
You don't know, yeah.
Yeah, because traditionally, yes, I think. I mean, I've never really gotten a guy anything for Valentine's Day, but then again, I don't know. Maybe it's nice.
Yeah.
But I think it's more, it needs to be like more of an effort on the guy's part. Like maybe you can get him a card or something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't think it has to be something massive.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I think it puts like a spotlight on courtship and everything, you know? And suddenly it's like, you have to think about it. You have to think about, oh, you know, I have this woman that cares for me, that I love. What can I do for her?
Right.
You know, yeah. And if you're not in the mood to do this, then you probably shouldn't be with that woman.
Exactly.
Right?
So, yeah, that's probably my most romantic Valentine's story, the rose petals everywhere. That was really sweet.
Wow. Yeah. I don't have many romantic stories because I haven't been very active on Valentine's Day, which is not nice. But, yeah, I always said, well, I can get you something any time of the year. Why do we have to subscribe to this insanity? But then I realized, you know, that it's not the end of the world, you know?
Right.
If you can make someone happy on this day, why not?
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I can see both sides of the argument. But right. what I think should determine your actions is how she feels, right? Like, if it's a big deal to her, you should definitely do it, you know?
Right?
Because if not, she's going to feel sad and left out and, you know, it's...
And you may not get any that night, so you never know.
Exactly. Exactly. So that'll suck.
Yeah, right?
And, you know, there's also kind of a social stigma to it that we didn't talk about. It's, you know, for example, like in the workplace or, you know, somewhere like that. I know my mom, she used to be a teacher. And so, you know, on Valentine's Day when it fell during the week, like my dad would always send her flowers to the school. And it's, if she didn't get flowers, oh, hell.
Yeah, right?
That never happened. Let me tell you, that never happened. But, but you know, she would have felt left out and her friend teacher colleagues were getting flowers and it's like, oh, your husband must not like
right.
be that into you, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so, I mean, not said so bluntly as that, but,
right.
you know.
But they think about
implied,
it.
Implied, yeah. And so there's so many things. So I think just making somebody feel good is the most important part.
Yeah.
You don't want your loved one to feel like they're left out or anything like that.
Exactly.
Or they're not as special as somebody else.
Right. And if you say, I'll get it to you any other day of the year, you probably won't anyway. So
exactly. That's the thing.
Do it,
yeah.
Know?
And I mean, we shouldn't be comparing relationships and stuff like that. But women do.
Yeah.
You know, women do. So.
Yeah. They like this stuff. So, yeah. Treat a woman nicely and you know, she'll treat you like a king. You know?
It's so true.
You have to really think about these things, you know. But that's the thing. If nothing else, at least Valentine's Day makes us think about these things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
About appreciating people and stuff. So, yeah.
I know. I wonder what the statistics are. Like, I wonder how many people break up on Valentine's Day.
Right, yeah.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
Yeah.
Hey, I guess it's enlightening in a number of ways.
Yeah. Probably. But there's going to be a lot of action going on that night because if you noticed, a lot of people are born in December. And my theory is that they all conceive on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
you know, that's about 9 months there. So,
oh, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, it seems like so people have birthdays on Saturday and in December.
Yeah,
so many people do.
There are lots of December babies.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is, but maybe it's true. But
maybe.
What about countries that don't celebrate Valentine's Day and it still happens, right?
I know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what happens to people in February?
Something in the air.
They have to bring babies to the world then. But, yeah, well, so much for Valentine's Day. We beat it to death today. I guess they're expecting record lows in the Northeast temperatures 40 to 50 below zero, Kelsey.
That is.
Can you even fathom what it feels like?
A repulsive thought.
Yeah, right?
Oh,
and that's with the wind
gosh.
Chill factor. So remember. So
oh, okay.
Remember
that's with the wind chill, though.
Yeah, but
okay.
Just think about Think how cold it is.
But what's the actual temperature?
I don't know. But the point is they're saying that. Think about it. When the wind is cold, it's the worst. It's the worst. It, you know, it penetrates your bones.
An electricity bill. Goodness. Mine would be
right?
through the roof because I'd be keeping that house toasty. I would just not leave. Like, I literally think I would call in sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Who wants to get out of the house like that?
I mean, it's just excruciating. I'm not a cold weather person, hence why I don't live in a cold
weather,
place.
Yeah.
Some people maybe love it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it, and I would hate it.
Yeah.
I know I would.
Wow.
I don't even really enjoy skiing.
Yeah?
I don't.
Have you tried it?
I have. You know, that may be partly because I'm ridiculous at it. And, oh my gosh, I was skiing in Ruidoso, I believe. I was going down this mountain called the El Capitan, which is like, it's not a black. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just like straight down. And a friend of mine, we're riding up the lift and we got off and we were young. I mean, we were maybe like 13 and we thought it was a great idea. And she starts skiing. She gets out of control. She falls, like bites it.
Wow.
I start laughing uncontrollably because it's hilarious. And then I fall. And so I'm like, screw this. I'm not getting back up on my skis. I took them off and was like literally sliding down the hill on my butt.
Wow.
And this little, I'm not kidding, 8-year-old boy skied past me and was like, are you okay, miss? Do you need me to call like the skibulance? And I'm like, no, move along. Move along, please. And but then, you know, it kind of got scary because I actually did see the little ski ambulance go up the hill. And I was like, oh, my God, what if they're going for my friend?
Yeah.
And they were.
Really?
Yeah. But then she saw it and she was like, ooh, I don't think that looks safe. And yeah, so she was basically being a baby. And you know, so she sent him back down the hill and ended up, you know, crawling down herself just like me. But yeah, I'm not a skier. Last time I went with some friends. We went to Aspen. And I just sat in the little restaurant area and just like drank.
Yeah,
you know,
why not?
I mean, drank like hot toddies and
who needs that insanity of going down the?
I mean, I was literally happy like the entire trip because I was like had this like perpetual buzz. I was just like drinking and in the hot tub all the time and like I literally never went on the slopes because not only do I dislike the actual skiing part of it. But it's such an effort. Like, the clothes and the boots and the walking. And I'm like, oh, my God.
The lifts and the,
yeah. I mean, unless it's like a literal ski in, ski out, you know, which is better, then it's a treacherous endeavor.
Really? So you must really like it
in order to be
able to do it.
I guess so. I mean, so many people love it, so I'm clearly, like, not in the majority, but... That's just how I feel about skiing.
Yeah. No, I think it would be cool. I never even tried it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, we're in warm climate. I mean, and I never really consciously said, well, let me go and learn how to ski in Aspen or something.
Oh, you have to go once, though.
I know. But I think at this point in my life, I'm not that agile, you know. I need to, maybe if I work out and stuff, I'll be a little more flexible.
Yeah.
Then I'll be able to do that. But who wants to break their bones on skiing, you know?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like my dad, every time we would go skiing, he never skied. He just, you know, he's such a big guy. He's he's like 6'5".
Wow.
And, you know, it's just like... For someone that big, he's just like, oh, it's not for me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even think they make ski boots his size. Like, he's literally like a size 15 or 16 shoe.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So he's big. He's a big man.
He's huge. He's you know, it's, I'm really proud of him. He's lost like about 50 pounds. Recently, yeah, because he was never like fat because he's just so tall.
Right.
Everything is very evenly distributed, right?
Right.
But yeah, now he looks just like even lankier.
Really?
Yeah. Since he's lost the weight, he just basically like quit eating sweets. So easy, and he'll just have like massive amounts of like meat. That's like such a guy diet, but right. I mean, it works, I guess, like not many carbs and just like meat and stuff. But yeah, so it wasn't ever his thing. I guess I got it from him, but yeah, I'm not itching to go to the slopes anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah. And in New York, they're saying Central Park is going to hit zero for the first time since 1993.
What? Oh, yeah. My gosh.
So that's like, yeah, over 20 years ago.
Wow.
It's pretty cold, man.
No, thank you there either.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you know how in the South they have hurricane parties?
Oh, they do? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God.
So they just stay in while the hurricane is...
Like they throw a party.
Yeah.
Every time the wind blows, we're like, can we have a hurricane party? We're like, I think it's coming. Yeah, they
sounds
should,
like fun.
Yeah, they should have like snow day parties. I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the kids will enjoy it anyways. Yeah. If they get to stay home. But maybe they won't because it's not snowing. And so then they'll just have to brave the ridiculous temperature.
Yeah. Who
That'll
knows?
Suck.
Yeah. And finally, I guess there was a little thing with Ted Cruz's campaign. They pulled an ad attacking Marco Rubio.
Oh.
But one of the actors there had performed in erotic films before. So she was in...
Okay, what?
Yeah. One of the actors in the ad...
Okay.
...was discovered to have been in porn movies and stuff.
In Marco before. Rubio's ad?
No, in Cruz's ad
Cruz's
about
ad.
Rubio.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Right, but they didn't know that she had been in this, so now they pulled the ad when they found out. Now, you want to hear something funny? I heard about this morning from her. Her name is Amy Lindsay... And she's a friend of mine on Facebook. I don't know why.
Whatever happened to reinventing yourself and,
right.
You know, who cares?
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't want that image.
Yeah, because, you know, they're going to, like, tell them something about it, you know.
What was she playing in the ad?
Like, I don't know. Like, there's a group of people talking and stuff and... I guess, you know, she auditioned for it.
Right.
And got the part, you know.
Oh, my gosh, how funny.
Yeah, I know. So,
she failed to put that on her resume.
Yeah. And it's funny because this morning I'm like, I wish Ted Cruz hadn't pulled the ad with me in it and stuff. I'm like, who are you? You know, and then
you saw it on your news feed.
On my news feed because she's a fan on Facebook or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't even know who she is, but somehow... We ended up friends on Facebook.
Right. I guess she listens to the show or a friend of a friend or
no, not necessarily. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Just there was a time on Facebook a few years ago when people would just friend anybody, you know, just to increase their friendship.
It's really true, yeah.
Yeah. So anybody that asked me to be a friend, I okayed it, you know. Now I'm not like that anymore because there's too much going on.
Right. Likewise. You know?
But I guess she's... She's a friend, so there you go.
How interesting. That's really interesting to me. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. I know. So many porn stars here in L.A., man.
So, like, she was a porn star?
Yeah.
Oh,
an adult film star, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did a couple films.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, folks, this is it for today, for this week. And everybody have a great weekend, great Valentine's Day. Thank you to Beate Shillet for calling in and convincing us that we should definitely celebrate Valentine's Day. That's what we came away with, right, Kelsey?
yes, that is.
All right, well, Kelsey, you have a good one. Everybody have a wonderful one, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey only on LA Talk Radio.